The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
Tonight's show, I welcome music guest True Apothecary. Also, I'll cover this weekend in the NFL, my pigskin pick'ems, Bigfoot hunting laws, why I'm now joining Zumba, and the top movies at the box office and much, much more tonight here on Unsigned. Hey everyone, how's it going out there? Welcome to Unsigned. Big show for you this evening on a Tuesday night. Hopefully everyone is having a nice work week so far. Hopefully you had a great weekend as well. I got a really great show for you tonight. Again, we're going to talk about Zumba. We're going to talk about Bigfoot hunting laws. Doesn't get much more entertaining than that, I tell you that right now. And also, again, we're going to cover our NFL pigskin pick'ems as well. Pretty interesting week as far as sports is concerned there. And we'll also dapple in a little college football and the mess that is the BCS. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, coming to the Unsigned show this evening, heavyweights of Yonkers, New York, True Apothecary!
Oh, yeah.
Hello. Hey, guys, how's it going, man?
Good, how are you?
Phenomenal.
How you doing?
Good, good. Well, yeah, thanks for doing the show tonight, man. Appreciate you guys coming on. And judging from our pre-show antics, I expect a very, very entertaining show. So before we get into the interview part of it, why don't you guys go ahead and just introduce yourselves and what you do with the band.
Hello, I'm David. I sing and I play guitar.
Hello, I'm Paul. I play bass.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, I'm Jared. I am the big shot lead guitar player.
Oh, hi, Jared.
Yeah, and I'm Tom and I play drums.
Hello, Tom.
Hey.
How you doing?
And my name is Ryan, and I approve this message. Hey, you guys have a new EP that apparently is coming out. You guys are always coming out, from what you said earlier in the show.
It's always coming out. There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my mix-up. I had to change my notes there. No, it's I'm Low on Gas and You Need a Jacket, which is a wonderful, wonderful title. I really dig that. And a first single, which we're going to hear in a little bit, is Chuck Taylor's Polestar Dance Factory, which I also dig the title. You guys have been working on this particular EP for a while. How has that process been for you guys?
Slow and painful. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been a process, like you said. We got in there. We tracked these songs like a year ago. We've had them for a while. We've had a lot of fun with them. We have fun with each other, especially with the song titles. David's laughing because he thinks that we have fun with each other in the most inappropriate way.
Sexually.
We all kind of have better halves though, so it's not like that except for Dave. Dave has a boyfriend.
It's not cheating. Yes. It's with a guy.
Yeah, but dude, it's been a long process. We're excited. We're almost there. This song actually David mixed too, which is pretty cool. So it's within inside the band. We're trying to work with an outside influence, our friend Sam, who we kind of mostly all have gone to school with, or me and David specifically.
Sam Stoff. He's from Connecticut,
yes.
Gotcha. So, now, how long you've been working with him? Is this kind of a new collaboration with Sam?
It's actually kind of funny because Sam, I was in a band before True Apothecary with Sam, and that's how I met David. So it's like a connection through the college that we went to, and we played with his band West Meets West, or Chess Meets Breast. They're from Connecticut. So we played with them, but I actually know David because of Sam, kinda. He's from Connecticut. So that interesting thing. So we've been working with Sam for a long time, but
very cool.
We like him. Yeah.
Keep him around. That's always good.
Yeah. He kind of reminds me of Paul Simon, but he's a great guy.
It's a difference.
But he's a good guy.
He's not from Connecticut.
So, record's coming. It's a process. It's always coming, you know?
Gotcha. Now, curious, the title, I'm low on gas and you need a jacket, which is fitting, I guess, for the times nowadays with gas at, you know, $4 a gallon. How'd you guys come up with the title, man?
Tom talking. I don't know. I was watching.
Okay, Ray Romano.
Tom talking now. I was watching Wayne's World one night. I think it was the first one, and that was a quote from it. And I started laughing, and it was one of those things where I'm like, that would be a great title. So I wrote it down and told Dave a couple of weeks later. And yeah, it was kind of like a joke, but it's one of those things that stuck. I think it's memorable, maybe.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's
I'm a big fan of that movie, so I don't know. Internet connection going down.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where we like to have, like, ridiculous song titles. I mean, hopefully you could take our music seriously because we do, but it's like we think about the titles and, I don't know, kind of makes for an interesting story, too, so why not? We've thought about making song titles about the lyrics, and we just kind of just
it's frown upon it. It's also, like, better on stage when you're like, this song is called Blue. It's like, all right, that's really boring. Rather just throw it out and make it as, you know.
My balls are blue. And that makes it a lot more
interesting. Yeah, that's C. If you heard
Tom plays like, baseball. Wow. He means his baseballs.
Yeah, I really want to hear this song now.
And kickball.
Anyway.
Anyway, yes.
Well, we're also known for our wacky, crazy, zany titles, so I totally get where you guys are going with that. Now, also, you guys are working with Regenerate Music Company. How has that helped you guys as a collective unit?
Well, we're just starting to work with them, so we haven't done anything yet. We're going to be recording an EP with them starting in January. So we're hoping awesome things will come of it. They put us in contact with some really cool bands, turn us on to some good music. There's a lot, I guess there's still a lot to be done. They're actually going to be coming up from Tennessee to us and recording us here in Yonkers, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, so right now we're doing pre-production for that. So pre-production for an upcoming EP, hopefully, and then also finishing up this EP that's supposed to already be out, which Chuck Taylor's going to be. So it's a dual process, but just about done the first one, and then I'm going to go in record some drums for the pre-production for the new stuff. That's going to be another 5 songs. So
we're hoping that
almost like an album out.
Yeah, we're hoping that the EP that's almost done, which is Forever Almost Done, can act as a springboard to help us, you know, raise enough funds for the next one with Regenerate.
Right.
Right on. Now, I know you guys sent me notes that you guys are going to be working with Justin Gerrish. He's worked with some other interesting artists. Weezer is one of the groups that he's worked with. Are you guys pretty excited as far as how he can, you know, really help, you know, progress your guys' songwriting and, you know, process?
Well, actually, slight correction. Our last EP we did with him, he mixed it.
Okay, my bad.
No, it's all good. Thank you, janitor. Thank you, scientist. Tom and I actually went to the college with Justin, and I was roommates with him for a while, so we know him for a long time.
Justin really did a great job of turning the record around, making it something that it definitely wasn't. There's a lot of drum editing on that, which he made sure to tell us about every time we sat down with him. Apparently it was very, very painful for him. But
I wasn't in the band yet at that point.
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was pretty much just me and Dave at that point, and we pretty much just got, you know, another one of my friends to come in at the time and kind of just track drums and just threw him into the band, you know, and then Paul kind of joined somewhere after that. We've had a lot of lineup changes. We've been a this has been like the solidified unit for like over a year now. We've had this last, what, June of last year or July or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's not the whole reason. I think another thing to all add to like the recording stuff, we're kind of excited to get this stuff out there and really eager and anxious because it's a more accurate representation of what we sound like now than the old recordings we have. I mean, we want to have stuff with Tom on it, you know, and Paul on it out there so people can hear it.
They both play on
Chuck Taylor's Paul Star Dance Factory. So that's cool. That's actually going to be the first really released recording that we have with them on it. So We're definitely stoked to get that out too. So,
very cool. Yeah, man. We're definitely going to hear that track here in a little bit. Now, with Paul being in the group, has his affection for cables and computers affected you guys at all when it comes to recording?
Paul, you can answer that one.
It's had a major effect on how we do things because I'm always breaking out soldering irons and
making helmets out of strainers.
Yes, making helmets out of strainers and printed circuit board. And it's
Paul dressed up as Vince Clortho from Ghostbusters, if anybody knows what the hell that is.
And like soldered like a helmet. Like
yeah, I soldered printed circuit board together because I'm a dork.
Yeah, and the strainer.
And Tom is excited about the pasta strainer because he's Italian.
Yeah.
Apothecary, there it is.
Yeah. Oh, bang.
Very cool, man. Well, hey, this is the first song tonight. It's off I'm Low on Gas and You Need a Jacket. It is Chuck Taylor's Paul Starr Dance Factor here on Unsigned.
Boom!
Taylor's Polestar Dance Factory here on Unsigned. I'm hanging out with the guys from True Apothecary. Guys, really good stuff, man. Looking forward to hearing more off that particular EP. Now, when you guys are out playing shows, or, you know, even when you're on tour playing shows, what do you guys do in your free time other than enjoy Tom's marinated pork chops?
Well, I mean, enjoying Tom's pork chops really does take up the majority of our time. I mean, what do we do for fun, or what do we do for living, or both? Pickle, what's more interesting?
Either one. You know, whether, you know, what do you guys, you know, play golf, or, you know, just kind of, you know.
I mean, honestly, I don't know. It's actually, like, kind of being serious about being funny. We have a blast when we go out, man. We have fun. The stuff that comes out of our mouths is just terrible, ridiculous fun.
Yeah, we usually piss a lot of people off.
I mean, bile. Tom talks about bile. Going to German places and making tons of jokes about bratwurst and German sausage. But, yeah, we have a good time.
Occasionally we'll steal pumpkins from a local college and then drive around with them and scream and throw the pumpkins.
We didn't really steal them. They kind of gave them to us.
No, we took it. Yeah. We definitely stole them.
That's a great thing to do.
Thievery.
Well, remember, Germans do love David Hasselhoff. And
so do we.
It's a disgrace.
Oh, why would you insult the Hoff like that, man? It's a disgrace.
Cool, bro.
Did not like the Hoff.
Now, you guys, you know, seem like pretty cool dudes, man. I mean, you guys ever play jokes on one another? Any pranks? Who's the biggest prankster in the group?
W. Jared.
Kind of.
Well, Jared and I, for a while, when we would leave from our rehearsal spot, whoever got in front of the other would proceed to open up their windows and or sunroof and throw things at the car behind them.
Oh, my God.
So Jared and myself, David, we would do that.
We have like this kind of like this ritual. We go up to Dick's Sporting Goods every like month or so, and we buy these freaking air horns. We drive around like there's like this outdoor shopping mall that they just opened like around here, and we go and we blast the air horns like in the parking lots, and we catch people. So people will just walk in front of me, or people will cut me off, and dude, it's the best thing to just open my moonroof and just stick an air horn out the window.
Yeah, a lot of times after practice, I'm driving behind you, so first I jump and I'm like, son of a, and then a minute later there'll be some lady walking down the street with the shopping cart and they'll blast the air horn and she jumps and I see her like wave sand and then I laugh.
It's very juvenile but very satisfying.
Very, very satisfying.
It sounds like you guys are definitely enjoying the air horn blowing, which is always a good time.
Jared doesn't.
You just, but you have the best part is you have to yell at them afterwards and just be like, "Yo, you caught it!" And you have to yell at them. tell them that they got it. It's like the white boy version of "You got served." You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
You got blown.
You got blown. Yeah.
You got the air horn. Nice, I dig it, man. Now, on the more serious side, in back into the band, how did you guys come up with the name True Apothecary?
David, oh, man, you just went really serious on me. I'm still laughing at
that. True Apothecary, Shakespeare.
Yeah, it's actually taken out. This is gonna get real nerdy, guys. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's sort of a side project of mine in college. I had just watched a bunch of Shakespeare-esque movies and read a bunch of Shakespeare. It's a line from Romeo and Juliet. It's at the very end. I don't know. What the hell does he say? Oh, true apothecary, that drugs are quick. Yeah. So it's a true apothecary. Well, an apothecary is basically like a medieval pharmacist. So you could think of it as an old school drug dealer where he goes to get his drugs of sorts, which in this case are poisonous and deadly. So it's...
So Dave would do to go find acid, put on a feather cap, and roam. that was those weird years.
Yeah,
Tom's more of a diminutive apothecary than all.
I still have the feathered cap.
So is anybody dressing up as the with the medieval feather cap for Halloween next weekend or this coming weekend?
Now
I am now. Well, I was just like a zombie Abraham Lincoln.
Saturday.
See what happens with that. Yeah, on Saturday.
See, I go out on Halloween, and people are like, see me, and they just look at me, and they're like, what are you dressed up as? And I'm like, dude, I'm in a rock band. I'm a rock star. It's like the easiest, like, costume.
If you saw us right now, you would know. Jared wears leather pants and all that.
Yeah.
Eyeliner.
No, but seriously, totally kidding. Yeah, totally kidding. I just wear a lot of plaid, so like they can't even see me. I'm like a chameleon. So, yeah. Lumberjack. Yes, I'm a lumberjack.
All right.
Anyway.
All
right. No, you guys originally got started back in 2009 into 2010, and we mentioned earlier that you guys have gone through some lineup changes in the last year or so. About the last year. How has that changed your sound in the last year or so with the new lineup changes, the additions to Paul and that?
Well, section. Yeah, now we have a rhythm section. Yeah, it's Jared and I have pretty much been doing this since the beginning. We've gone through a keys player, bass player, drummer, two drummers. I think that's everybody. And we're
you've gone through a guitar player before. I was even.
Oh, yeah, band. That's right. There's another guitarist. But it's funny because Tom and Paul, the drummer and the bassist, were actually in a band before this for like 10 years.
We're in a couple of bands together. We've been playing together for over 10 years now.
So we
99. Yeah. Summer 99.
So they've got summer 99. So they've got a sick chemistry on. It's a little ridiculous. They brought that dynamic. They really lock up, which forces us to lock up with them in a very heterosexual way. And it's dramatic influence.
Finger cuffs.
But I think when we started, it was like when I first came into the band, it was David and his acoustic guitar, and it was like acoustic singer songwriter, and I was playing like all cleans, and I came from like a really progressive rock background, and it was like even it went more into rock, but it was still really pop. And like now we can kind of still do that, but it's got more of an edge to it. We're a lot more dynamic, we're a lot more versatile. We go from like these pop sounding R&B songs into this really spooky melodic heavier stuff. So we've changed a lot. And the chemistry as a band has just, changed a lot. I mean, we've been playing as this setup for, like I said before, like over a year, and it's kind of crazy because it feels like we've been playing a lot longer than that, but at the same time, it doesn't. So, things changed. Things changed a lot, We used to be like a pop. We used to be a pop rock band, We used to be John Mayer. You just didn't know.
John Mayer's gonna be pissed if he hears that. Musical influences. I know David has a deep, deep love for MJ, Michael Jackson. I mean, who doesn't, right? How does that play a part in your musical influences?
That's where I get a lot of my vocal influences from. I always bump some MJ and Michael.
I always hear it in that song you guys will play in a bit. Welcome to the Next Battle. You do a lot of that, like start and stop MJ kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
So.
Get some hee-hees in there?
I mean, I don't know.
I grab my crotch a lot on stage.
Have you perfected the moonwalk?
Oddly enough, if I'm going socks on a wood floor, hell yeah. Otherwise, no.
It's kind of funny that it's from the South. I don't know if that means anything to you guys.
How does that mean? It's kind of funny. It's just completely unrelated to what you're talking about. I don't understand.
I don't know. You like chitlins and grits.
I don't like chitlins.
I live in the South. I'm not from the South. I'm originally from Northeast Ohio, so I kind of have an idea. Unfortunately, we do make fun of Southern people quite a bit on this show, and I apologize for any Southern people that may be listening because we make fun of you almost on a weekly basis. But but nothing wrong with grits and frog legs and all those things.
Grits are actually really good.
Like frog legs.
Tom is an avid fan of frog legs, but
we had them at those Chinese place.
They were tiny.
Some of my favorite bands are from the South. It's true.
It's great to know.
It's good to know. Paul's favorite band is the South.
That's not.
Now, the next song we've got tonight on the show is High Noon, which is, I believe, from one of your earlier EPs. What can you tell me about this track tonight?
It's off Thank You, Janitor. Thank You, Scientist. This was mixed by Justin Garrish. So if you don't like the mix, you should call him and let him know. What else do we want to tell them?
The song is about medieval apothecary.
That's not.
And we have a video for it online. High Noon, True Apothecary. It's up on YouTube. It's on our website. Check it out.
TrueApothecaryMusic.com.
Tom actually edited this the music video for the song.
Harkening back to
Life is for Laughing by Eddie Duran.
They don't understand.
Right on. Well, here it is True Apothecary and High Noon here on Unsigned. Thank you. Apothecary and High Noon here on Unsigned, hanging out with the guys from the band True Apothecary. Guys, I really appreciate hanging out with me this evening. Now, we talk sports on this show quite a bit as well, and I know, Jared, from what I hear, you're a big NFL guy. What's your favorite team, man?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, yeah, David's going to make me say the Dallas Cowboys, but that is very far from the truth. Yeah, well, I mean, I do actually love football. They're making fun of me.
We are.
Yeah, pretty much everywhere I go, I just like to scream, "Yeah, football!" But people just get pissed. We walked into a bar once. I was like, "America's football team," and they're like people that got up and were really pissed. Yeah, I like the Giants. I'm a big Giants fan.
In that particular instance, there was a baseball game on, so that.
No, it was a football game, and the Cowboys were playing. There's a little bees in Tarrytown, but
they definitely know where that is.
Yeah, they definitely know where that is. But little bees, yeah. But I love the. I am a Giants fan. If my girlfriend is listening, she's a huge Giants fan. I actually wait. I'm a waiter. I waited on Tiki Barber.
That's a great story.
Yeah, he was
went
a real
to my high school.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah,
he's came a. And he gave speeches.
He's a
shit.
Dickhead. Sorry, I said it. I said it.
Oh, it's out.
He's a cheap dip. But anyway, yeah, I'm a Yankees fan, even though they.
Oh, that's not football.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
So. Now, hey, I have no. I didn't feel bad for the Yankees at all. I'm a Cleveland sports fan, so sorry that you guys didn't win another championship. The Giants.
Only Jared cares.
I'm a huge football fan too, man. If you're interested, we'll be doing some football stuff later in the show. If you want to hang out, we appreciate it. But now you guys obviously had a lot of things going on, a lot of changes in the year. Now you got a solid unit, a solid group. The new EP will be coming out, and then you're working on another one, I believe, in January. Do you have any names for that EP in January? Anything that you guys have thrown about yet or haven't got that far with it?
I think I have an orange Huffy.
Yeah, I mean, we actually just came up with a name a couple minutes ago. It's called I Have an Orange Huffy. The tires is flat, though. That's the name. That's the name of the song.
So far.
Of the album. Tentative. I Have an Orange Huffy, the tires is flat, though.
That's a tentative title. That is a Tom Parisi original.
All right, very cool. You might want to get some air on that tire, man. But hey, now, a lot of stuff obviously in the work for you, working with these producers and everything. If people want to know more about you guys, like hearing you on the show, want to get a hold of the albums, the music, and get a hold of you guys, how can they do that?
You can go to our main website. Oh, my God, he's doing it. TrueApothecaryMusic.com, or you can find us on Facebook, which is Facebook.com/TrueApothecary.
Bandcamp.
Oh, we have a Bandcamp, TrueApothecary.bandcamp.com.
And Twitter.
You can find us on Twitter.
Twitter. True_apothecary. Because Candle Company has True Apothecary without the underscore.
No.
They're a bunch of bastards.
Yeah.
Don't buy their candles.
Don't ever buy their candles.
You will get
Hey, the same company has TrueApothecary.com,
they put
too.
Drugs in their candles.
I don't understand what an apothecary is doing with candles. Or whatever.
But yeah, you can find us.
Smell like an orange Huffy with a flat tire.
Yes, they do.
Their tires is flat.
They're huffing orange Huffy.
Dang lacquer heads over there at the Candle Company. But we got one more song tonight for you. I know you guys got to have some other engagements this evening, which is totally cool. I appreciate you guys carving out some time for us tonight here on the show. Hey, when you guys get the new EP done in January, feel free to come back. We'd love to have you, man.
Well, we will definitely
awesome.
Do that.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
All right, pleasure. Now, this actually comes off Thank You, Giant. Thank You, Janitor. Thank You, Scientist. Is titled Welcome to the Next Battle. What do we need to know about the song before we close out tonight, man?
Easton.
Yeah, that's it.
This is the last track off of that EP. This is probably one that we're gonna whip out at any show that you come see us. There's a lot of the old stuff that we don't necessarily still play. This is one of them that we try to break out when we can. So if you come see us, request it, we'll play it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So very thanks cool. for
hey guys, have yourself a good one. This is I'm going to whip it out right now. Welcome to the next battle, True Poppy.
You got it.
Woo!
Yeah. Ah!
True Apothecary here on Unsigned with Welcome to the Next Battle. I want to thank the guys from True Apothecary, David, Jared, Paul, and Tom and his marinated pork chops for stopping in this evening and making it a very eventful opening to the show. And still a lot of great material on the way, including NFL, college football, or top movies. If you remember, a couple weeks back, I talked about a young Brazilian woman named Katrina. The 20-year-old Brazilian student was auctioning off her virginity to raise money for impoverished families in her country. Well, the bid was supposed to end on October 15th, but because there were so many bids happening, the date was extended for another about 9 hours at this point. Yesterday, I checked the site, and it was at $350,000. The bid was the high bid. It was from a man in Japan. Now that's a lot of sake, if you ask me. Now, latest, right before we end the show tonight, the latest bid, with only about 9.5 to 10 hours ago in the auction, was a man from India bidding $450,000 for Katrina's virginity. to deflower Katrina for only $450,000. You too. It's, I feel like it should be one of those weird pet things that Sarah McLachlan does. Like Sarah McLachlan music should be playing in the background. Right now, you, for a mere $450,000, you could deflower Katrina right now. Make it happen. Place your bid on Virgins right now. Sarah McLachlan just screaming in the background, wailing like a cat, you know? Unbelievable. I tell you, it doesn't get much better than that. Good luck, Katrina, with that guy from India on 450K. That's going to be a fun time for her, I'm sure. Speaking of fun times, you know, times are tough and you know, election time is getting close. And this could not be more evident by a new L.A. law that's measured. It's called Measure B. That's going to impact the adult film producers who they must obtain a health permit before filming. And performers in adult films must wear condoms while engaged during sex. It also calls for health officials to be on the sets while filming. Now, a PSA announcement was done by Ron Jeremy and Tara Kirkpatrick suggesting that passage of Measure B could lead to porn companies closing down shop in Los Angeles and moving to other places without condom rules. This would result in a 20, get this, the porn industry will lose $20 billion and 10,000 jobs. That is an astounding number to me. There we got people in this country that can't find work, but 10,000 people are having getting paid for sex. Awesome. USA. USA. Now, hey, there's obviously porn industry all over the place, but obviously L.A. is like king porn, I guess. But speaking of sex and those type of things, remember Zumba? Has anybody heard of Zumba? The Zumba class, many people were, you know, are taking care of their bodies more and working out more, of course, and joining fitness clubs and spinning classes. Some people were even joining Zumba, which is one of the latest fitness crazes. Now, the Zumba slogan is ditch the workout and join the party. Now, a woman in the New Hampshire area, Alexis Wright, allegedly was having sex with people attending her class. I guess she just wanted to get them to come early. Ditch the party. Ditch the workout, join the party. I tell you what, this is one of the reasons I'm going to join Zumba is because of Alexis Wright. I mean, you want to talk about really a woman who is hands-on. Now, earlier this week, police released 21 names in the John category, listed to believed more than 100, a list that is going to carry over 150 names. That is a lot of Zumba. Ditch the workout, join the party. A list of alleged clients includes former South Portland Mayor James Soule, as well as lawyers, real estate appraisers, and men in ranging from the age of 34 to 65. I wonder if there's any women on the list as well. Wright, 29, pleaded not guilty to 106 counts of prostitution and other charges after being accused of running a brothel in her dance studio in the office across the street, as well as secretly videotaping many of her encounters as well. Videotapes have not been released yet, but you better believe I'm sure they will. This is over $150,000 in 18 months that she's collected since she opened her Zumba class. And Mark Strong, who also pled guilty to 59 counts. So her business partner is also in on this, only 59 counts. That is a whole lot of Zumba. Remember, ditch the workout, join the party. That's my chicken. This is an interesting story. At first, when I saw this story, I thought, this has got to be somewhere in the South somewhere. I mean, we had the guy stabbing his son over Milwaukee's Best. We had butt chugging in Tennessee. And I was like, this has got to be in the South, right? No, actually, to my dismay, it took place in Zimbabwe. And this is the story. This gentleman at the age of 40 was angry with his wife, who's 24, who served him chicken, but saved the breast and one drumstick for herself, leaving her husband the gizzard, the wing, and the other drumstick. Now, local tradition apparently dictates the tastier parts of the chicken, the back, the breast, the drumsticks, to be reserved for the man of the house, according to GlobalPost.com. Now, enraged, the gentleman assaulted his wife and took refuge with her grandmother. The following morning, the gentleman took his wife's poultry transgression to the tribal court, where she was found guilty and fined one chicken for the offense. One chicken! Her grandmother was also docked a chicken as well by the tribal chiefs for failing to teach her granddaughter how to treat her husband and dish out meals. This will cost you two chickens. I mean, if I could only have a picture of this did take place in the South. Hey, yo, that's my chicken breast. It's dry. Imagine if she overcooked the chicken breast. My goodness, you're talking docking three chickens. You know, one thing I think we need is definitely more Bigfoot hunting laws, right? Yeah. Bigfoot enthusiasts in Chickawa Lake, New York, say Sasquatches need one. They want Sasquatches to be safe in the empires from Empire State Hunters. Pete Wiener of Lake Bigfoot Expo declared in a press release in New York State Department of Environmental Conservation put Bigfoot and on the protected species list. He said, because there is no designated hunting season for Sasquatches, and therefore they are a protected species. By not being listed on the hunting syllabus in New York, Wiener said that he wrote the he actually wrote Mark Kendall of the DEC about this and actually sent it to the Huffington Post, of course. Kendall denied that his department took any such action for putting them on the on this particular list to protect Sasquatches. New York State has taken no action in regard to listing and protecting Bigfoot, Mark Kendall said. Therefore, the state does not acknowledge the existence of Bigfoot. He asserted, we are confident that the current laws and regulations afforded and acquitted do protect Bigfoot if he were to be found in New York. Kendall went on to explain that Bigfoot believers are welcome to pursue Sasquatches at the purpose of documenting their experiences, provide none of the Sasquatches are harmed. In other news, the Sasquatch from the Slim Jim commercial could not be reached for comment. Now, also another Bigfoot apparently outraged by this, not being on the in danger list in Pennsylvania. People are investigating a claim made by Lycan, Pennsylvania resident that a Bigfoot actually damaged his motor home in September. John Reed told state troopers that his 1973 Winnebago was attacked by an elusive hairy half man on September 11th and also the 28th. So beware. Bigfoots are among us. So, we definitely need some more Bigfoot laws, apparently. Very, very strange story there. Adele just had her baby. She's also doing the soundtrack for the new James Bond movie, which is set to come out here this November, Skyfall. Now, Adele is expected to stay home during the premiere of the Royal Albert Hall for the movie Skyline, the new James Bond film. She's not going to be there because she just had a baby this past weekend. The movie Skyfall is the latest of the Bond series, again, is set for a November 9th release, led by Daniel Craig, who has also played Bond in Quantum of Solace and Casino Royale as Bond. And really one of the great a great American version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo as well. We alluded to that several weeks ago. Critics are calling this the best James Bond movie to date. So look for that. If you're into James Bond, this is going to be an action-packed thriller that only James Bond can deliver. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our Pigskin Pick'ems.
False start. Offense. Everyone but the center.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Ah, we let them off the hook. No, no, no. This week, I am definitely on the hook. I had a pretty good after the week before was a really disaster and really a disaster for a lot of people. This week I went 9-4. That leaves me 57-29 on picks through the season thus far. And my tradition of sucking at picking the Thursday night games continues. I went with the Seahawks on the road over the 49ers. Probably not one of my best picks. And really, this was a really badly offensively played game. 13-6 victory for the 49ers at home. You have the Cardinals heading up to Minnesota to take on the Vikings, Adrian Peterson and company. And that Viking defense has been really, really solid. 7 sacks on the day of Skelton, the quarterback for the Cardinals. The offensive line of the Cardinals is awful. I mean awful. They're probably on pace to give up about 50 sacks this year as well in a 21-14 victory for the Vikings. Cowboys, Panthers. The Cowboys won an ugly game, a game that really needed really, really badly to win coming out of the bye week. Cam Newton pulled his 12-year-old pouting boy routine post-game, you know, sulking, showing the neon colors, signs of immaturity as far as what you would like to see from your number one overall pick from 2 years ago. Definitely not what you want to see from your supposed superstar quarterback. Now, the Saints coming out of their bye week, heading to Tampa Bay. Drew Brees, I'll tell you what, this guy is unbelievable. 6 touchdown passes, and the Saints defense, I'll tell you what, they're not very good at all. The Saints defense is awful. I think Drew Brees would score eight touchdowns against that Saints defense. But thanks to former Ohio State Buckeye Malcolm Jenkins, the Saints do get the stop they need late in the game and win their second in a row, 35-28. The Packers heading to St. Louis to take on the Rams. Packers seem to be kind of getting back into their groove. They still have a major issue in the run game, unable to run the football at all. Now with the injury to Cedric Benson, he's on the IR list now. Interesting to see if they look to James Starks again to find a running game. But they do get the win at St. Louis, 30-20. And 2 road games in a row, and now they're going to be heading back to Lambeau Field for the second half of the season, and I look for the Packers to make a push here. Redskins taking on the Giants in the Meadowlands. This is the Redskins' first division game of the year, and man, what a game it is. I tell you what, Robert Griffin III, RG3, is one heck of a football player, and he is fun to watch. He left Eli Manning 90 seconds to beat him, and guess what? Eli Manning beat him with a 77-yard bomb to Victor Cruz. Eli and the Giants are a tough, tough ball club. They went big at home against the arch-rival Redskins, 27-23, a division win the Giants really, really needed. Now, when you look at the Ravens and the Texans, I said last week this Ravens team is going to go through kind of an identity change. No Ray Lewis on the field. Ladarius Webb is out. Terrell Suggs is coming back from the Achilles injury. Not the same defense as the Baltimore Ravens, you remember. And they got trounced. They gave up 43 points to the Houston Texans. And that defense of the Houston Texans, I'm telling you, in a mediocre AFC, hands down, J.J. Watt of the Houston and that Texans defense, they are overwhelming. They get rolling and start making plays. They are hard to stop. That defense alone scored 9 points against the Ravens this past Sunday. The Ravens are in trouble. I think the sound bites they've been doing for the NFL, J.J. Watt telling Ray Rice, "I've eaten burritos bigger than you are," before the game. And I tell you what, that is one bad dude, J.J. Watt, in that defense. The Texans are the real deal in a really weak AFC to this point. Titans, Bills, Chris Johnson sighting in Buffalo. And the Titans, I tell you what, when Chris Johnson runs the way he did in Buffalo this past weekend, they are a completely different team. Now, defense still can't tackle anybody. Defense still can't stop anybody. But when he runs the way he ran this past weekend, they get a win. It wasn't pretty. 35-34, Titans get a big win on the road over Buffalo. The Browns and Colts. Look, I finally picked my Browns to win a football game. And the woulda, coulda, shoulda season continues for the Browns. I don't know what's going on with this team. I really don't. They abandoned the run with only a 4. They're only down by 4 in the whole game, making Brandon Weeden throw the ball 40-plus times, his rookie quarterback. And for making him throw the ball 40-plus times, he did pretty well. If not for a drop touchdown pass in the end zone, pretty much the story of the season, really. I don't know how many times they've had drop footballs in the end zone that were late, right on the money. Brandon Weeden basically all but catching the ball for them and dropping footballs in the end zone. You keep doing that week after week, guess what happens? You lose week after week, and that's what happens. The Browns lose 17-13 in Indy, a game they should have won. The Jets taking on the Patriots in an overtime game. The Pats, again, Tom Brady at home, really tough to beat. The suspect defense comes into play, but they come up with a stop when you need it to. They get a sack fumble in overtime to seal the victory, 29-26. The Raiders and the Jaguars, the battle of who can suck more was what this game was. The Jaguars jump up to a big, big lead. Then Maurice Jones-Drew gets hurt. Their quarterback, Gavert, gets hurt. And then the Raiders somehow, some way, pull it together. And they win at home in the black hole, 26-23. Steelers, Bengals. The Steelers, I thought, you know, every time I want to bury the Steelers, and trust me, I hate the Steelers more than anyone. Every time I want to bury the Steelers, here they come. You know, they look like they were down again Sunday night, and here they go. You know, their banged up offensive line and their third string running back, they rush for, you know, 150 yards on the night, control the clock, and, you know, basically they're still trying to script the Bengals off 71 downtown in Cincinnati, a 24-17 win for the Steelers, big division game as well. And Monday Night Football, what a snoozer. I was kind of flipping back and forth between the debate and this, and whew, I'm telling you, I told you in the preseason, that Bears team is the real deal. They are good, and that defense is better than advertiser or veteran group. I tell you, at times it felt like the Bears should have been up about 40-0 in that game, and the score does not dictate what that really what the score should have been. Credit to Detroit Lions defense for being a very solid and being very game for that Bears offense, but I tell you, man, that Bears defense was suffocating. The Lions didn't score until the last minute of the game, where it was pretty much done and over with already. But that Bears team is very, very solid. Now it's time to take a look at this week's picks. Thursday night football. We'll see if my streak of not picking Thursday night continues. The Bucks heading to Minnesota, taking on the Vikings. I'm taking the Vikings all the way here. I think Adrian Peterson and that defense, I think, is just going to be too much for that Tampa Bay team to overcome. The Dolphins. Vision game, heading to New York, take on the Jets. This was a toss-up for me, but a rookie quarterback against Ryan's defense in New York, I think the Jets find a way to win. The Chargers, coming out of a bye week, coming off sticky gate. Apparently, the receivers are using stick'em on their hands, heading to Cleveland to take on the Lonely Browns. This game could be ugly. I really believe this game could get out of control. I'm taking the Chargers all the way in Cleveland. You have the Colts heading to Nashville, taking on the Titans. This should be an interesting football game. I think Andrew Luck, I tell you what, Andrew Luck was outplayed last week by Brandon Weeden. No one's talking about it, but Brandon Weeden definitely outplayed him. I'm going to take the Titans at home over the Colts. Patriots taking on the Rams on the road in St. Louis. Look, that St. Louis defense is getting better. They're pretty solid. Jeff Fisher is going to build a winner there in St. Louis. It's just not going to be this year, unfortunately. I'm taking the Patriots on the road. Jaguars heading to Lambeau to take on the Packers. This without Maurice Jones-Drew, this spells disaster for them. I'm taking the Packers all the way. Falcons taking on the Eagles coming out of a bye week. Andy Reid is 13-1. Coming out of a bye week when playing at home. They take on the undefeated Falcons. I'm taking the Eagles to upset the Falcons and giving them their first loss of the season. Redskins, Steelers. For whatever reason, I think RG3 is going to give the Steelers all they want and then some. With that being said, I'm still taking the Steelers at home. Seahawks heading to Detroit to take on the Lions. The Lions, this is really a must-win for the Lions. If they have any hope of getting back into the postseason, I think they do it just because the Seahawks offense is really just that bad. I'm taking the Lions in a squeaker in the Motor City. Panthers taking on the Bears. Cam Newton, I think Cam Newton will probably cry this week. I really, really think Cam Newton will probably cry this week. They just fired their GM for whatever reason, fired him in the middle of the season, which makes no sense at all. Hopefully that's not because Cam Newton was pouting in the last post-game press conference. But with that being said, I think Cam Newton cries, Bears win at home. Raiders, Chiefs. This is a toss-up. Both these teams are awful. Romeo Crennel is officially named Brady Quinn the starter. I had to look and make sure it wasn't 2006. Yeah. Looks like Brady Quinn's going to get Romeo Crennel fired twice. I'm taking the Raiders on the road in Kansas City. Giants, Cowboys. I'm taking the Giants in payback over the Cowboys for opening week. The Giants need to win to stay in that division race. Saints, Broncos, primetime Sunday night football. This is going to be a heck of a football game here. The Broncos defense is not great. The Saints defense is awful. And I have Peyton Manning on my fantasy team. Thank you very much, Saints defense, for being as awful as you are. Peyton Manning is going to carve them up like a hot knife through butter and vice versa. On the other side, this is going to be a fun game to watch in primetime Sunday night. And Monday night football, you have the 49ers taking on the Cardinals. This is a toss-up for me. The Cardinals playing at home, I think they're starting to kind of lose their grip a little bit, coming down to earth after that big 4-0 start. I'm taking the 49ers on the road in a very low-scoring, hard-hitting game. I'm going to say, we'll give a point on this. I'm going to say 13-6 49ers on Monday Night Football. And that has been your Pigskin Pick'ems. Now, let's take a look at the college football top 10 BCS. What an interesting week for college football. You have number 10, the Georgia Bulldogs, number 9, the USC Trojans, number 8, the Oklahoma Sooners, number 7, the Oregon State Beavers, who nobody's given a lot of credit to. That's a tough, tough football team right there. LSU Tigers, I think, are a little overrated at number 6. Notre Dame Fighting Irish, they don't win pretty, that's for sure, but they do find ways to win. They're right there, and just because of their strength of schedule, they're up in that top 5. The Oregon Ducks, this, I tell you what, if I'm the Oregon Ducks, I am one mad football team. If I'm Chip Kelly, I'm pissed. Because you started, and every other pool, the Harris pool, the AP pool, any other pool you want to take, you can jump, throw the kids in the pool if you want to. The Oregon Ducks are number 2 in the country, and they keep winning. They keep blowing teams out, playing in conference in the Pac-12, and they keep sliding in the BCS pools. Now down to number 4. What did they do to drop 2 spots? I have no idea. All they do is keep winning and blowing teams out. Unbelievable. Now at number 3, the Kansas State Wildcats. You know, they look like a really formidable ball club in the Big 12. And the SEC, of course, number 1 and number 2, the Florida Gators and the Alabama Crimson Tide. I think the Florida Gators are a pretty tough football club. Interesting to see if they can run the table or not. But I do not want to see another SEC clash. Blah, that makes me want to vomit and really makes me not want to watch the college football bowl season if that happens. I don't want to see, you know, they're going to talk about, oh, the SEC won another championship. Well, who got a chance to win it last year other than the SEC? And it looks like it's shaping up that this year. They keep dropping Oregon down in the polls for whatever reason. So if the BCS title game were picked today, you'd have Alabama versus Florida, SEC versus SEC. And the Kansas State Wildcats and the Oregon Ducks would be sitting there undefeated on the outside looking in going, do we not get a shot at this? I'm glad the system's changing. It's garbage. And if it ends up being that way, I'm not watching the college bowl season. We won't cover it on the show either. That's just the way where I'm going with that. But let's look at our top 10 movies here on the week. Number 10 at the box office, you have Looper at $4.2 million. Looks like a very interesting film. Frankenweenie, $4.4 million. Picked Perfect at $7 million. Here Comes the Boom at $8.5 million. Sinister at $9 million. Alex Cross, I don't know about that. You know who is in that movie? Tyler Perry's in that movie, and I see Tyler Perry in anything. It just makes me cringe. But I heard it's a different role for him. So I don't know. I'll wait for VHS. $11.7 million. Taken 2, $13.4 million. Hotel Transylvania at $13.5 million. Argo $16.6 million, and just in time for Halloween. Boo. Paranormal Activity for $30.2 million. Now, and if you're a big movie buff, much as I am, and into the Marvel comics and the Marvel movies, Tony Stark and the Iron Man 3 trailer was just released today. And playing the villain is Ben Kingsley, who is going to play Mandarin, which is set to release May of 2013. And for, again, the Marvel fans out there, Thor 2 is set to be released November 2013. Captain America Winter Soldier set to be released April 2014. Other movies that may spark your interest this December the 14th, The Hobbit. And also Lincoln comes out November 14th, I believe, as well, which looks like a very, very good film with Daniel Day-Lewis. So that's what I've got for you this evening. I want to thank you for hanging out with me. I want to thank the guy, Gary, for stopping in tonight. Mike, wonderful job as always. Catch me next week. We have our Halloween edition with a really kick-ass metal band, Scars of Envy. Those guys will be stopping in for the show, so definitely check that out. Hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so.